Phyllis is going to come up now and read the scripture for today from Psalm 51, verses 1 to 10.
Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from all sin. For I know that my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are renewed night. Wait a minute. So that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the innermost parts. You teach me wisdom in my innermost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be white as snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sin and blot out all my iniquity. I want to read the rest. Cleanse me, or create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me.
So, now it's time for Pastor Danilo to come up and give us the message for today. We're going to have a prayer with Pastor Danilo before he shares his message. Gracious God, let the people hear the good news of your love, forgiveness, and acceptance in Danilo's words today. Let him show us Jesus. Amen.
So if we remember back in Samuel, when David is king, we know this story fairly well. Right? I was actually reviewing the story, and if you remember when we were doing our compassion series, we did a story about David and Mephibosheth. And I never noticed it before. Like, so this act of kindness and forgiveness happens right before David begins in war again. He's trying to... So what happened? So he did this act of forgiveness. And then he sent his servants to this other kingdom, the Ammonites. And they embarrassed his servants that he went to communicate with him. It said they shaved half of their beard and like ripped off their bottom of their clothes. So they were pantsless and they shaved their beard. Like, so it was obviously embarrassment or disgrace, right? To be naked or to have your beard, which is supposed to part of the culture, you know, like holiness or righteousness. And so David finds this out and he's outraged. So they begin this war, right? And so David begins in war, and as they're in war, we encounter Bathsheba. This part of the story we remember pretty well, right? Bathsheba is out. It says, you know, David walks out on the rooftop. Bathsheba is out there on the rooftop bathing or cleansing herself. She had been on her period, and she was doing kind of a ritual cleaning. And David sees her, and he says, I want her. And so the transactions happen. He gets her. She comes to his palace. They have sexual relations together. She's sent away. She finds out that the husband, Uriah, is there. He wants, you know, David wants him gone because he wants her wife. So when they're in battle, they tell Uriah, you know, let him lead the charge. Pull your men back. He dies. Bathsheba has become pregnant. It's this whole complicated mess, right? So David... he's involved in war, he's committed adultery, he's committed murder. What a mess, right? Do we remember this story somewhat fairly well? And so after this happens, the prophet Nathan comes to David and he calls out his sin. He tells kind of this story. Let me tell you about a man who's done something. And after David hears the story, he said, that man needs to die. And Nathan says, you are that man in this story who has committed a wrong. The prophet Nathan called David out on his sins and all the things, the wrong that he was doing. And David says, what have I done? And from that, we get Psalm 51 that Phyllis read this morning. This psalm of confession and repentance. This psalm of needing forgiveness from God. In our own lives, we have also sinned. We have done different things. We have harmed ourselves. We have harmed other people. We have sinned against God. And we need to confess our wrongdoing. Perhaps someone confronted us on our sin. Maybe we were self-aware. You know, as Rose was saying, I just felt so guilty. This sick feeling in my stomach. I just couldn't, you know, live with it, or I couldn't deal with it. It just made me physically sick. Or maybe even the Holy Spirit has convicted us. It's brought us in our mind. Hey, do you remember when? Are you sure you wanted to do that? In our relationship with God, there will be many times that we just need to simply say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We need to admit our sin, our wrong, and ask God for forgiveness. Psalm 51 is a good prayer when maybe we don't know the words to say. Maybe we've been in the same situation before. We've said sorry about this many times. And we can read this psalm and say, God, we come humbly before you. I need to confess this. I need to make myself clean. I need your forgiveness. And so as I read through this psalm this past week, I noticed two important things. The first one was the need to be humble. And the second, to be humble and honest before God. And the second was the need for forgiveness. In regards to humility, we can't confess unless we are willing to admit we made a mistake. Right? We can't say we're sorry unless we realize, yes, I did something wrong. We own what we did. Once again, as Rose was saying, you know, we don't blame someone else. It was their fault. They made me do it. No, we take responsibility for what we did. We need to recognize our own shortcomings. And that may come from someone else. Someone else might point it out to us, as the prophet Nathan did to David. Maybe our own self-awareness or the Holy Spirit. For David, it came from the prophet Nathan, right? Nathan had to point out David's sin because maybe David wasn't willing to say, well, maybe it's not that bad, or he deserved it, or I don't know. But once David heard this truth from Nathan, he had a choice. He could either accept this truth, or he could deny that his sin. But David was willing to be humble and realize the mistake he had made. That's why the psalm begins with the words, have mercy on me, God. It's a point of humility. That's where it starts. That's where it begins. David begins with humility. The psalm begins with humility. It's humility to accept our weakness and our wrongdoing. And it's an important part of confession. In sorry prayers, we realize that the damage is that we have done to ourselves, to others, and to God. And we want that to be restored. We don't want to feel damaged and broken. As we have been learning, prayer is not just talking to God, but it's about a relationship. It's two ways. We ask not to change God, but to change ourselves. Right? A lot of the times we come to God and say, I want this or I need this. Maybe God has something to give us or something for us to learn. And in prayer, we are changed ourselves. We pray to form a living relationship, just not to get things done. We must learn to have humility before God and to lose our sense of entitlement. Oftentimes we are too self-centered, focused on what we want, what we need, what we're trying to achieve, what we're trying to get. the things that we say, we deserve this. You know, I earned it. I did this on my own. Or look where I am now. I deserve this. It's about me. It's about what I want. We don't have that sense of humility. When we come before God, we must remember that we are only human. From dust we were created. From dust we will return. Confession reminds us of our weakness and our vulnerability. When we are humble and confess, we can find assurance in knowing that God is merciful and willing to forgive. David acknowledges that in this psalm, that God is able to wash and cleanse us. David reminds us of the steadfast love of God. Oftentimes, just saying the words, I'm sorry, can be difficult, right? Does anybody else have that problem? Yes? Good, I'm not the only one, right? For myself, I'm not maybe always quick to own my mistakes or to say I'm sorry. Maybe I want to avoid embarrassment or just saying those words. These are, you know, our shortcomings or our faults come up quite a bit, right? And most notably in marriages or deep relationships, even deep friendships, right? So for Mary and I, one of the things that I have kind of always been bad at is I leave, like, when I go to the fridge, I get things out. Maybe it's food or maybe it's water or something, or milk. I don't always do a good job of putting it back in the fridge. I've gotten somewhat better here and there, but the majority, that really annoyed Mary, right? When, as we were first together and living together. But also the funny thing that happens in marriage is somehow, like, you pick up on each other's traits, sometimes good traits, sometimes bad traits, right? In some ways you start to mirror different actions. And so Mary also kind of picked up on my bad habit that I noticed. And so sometimes lately she's been leaving out the water or milk too. And so one day, like, so I didn't say anything. And so one day, I don't know why, but she was about to say something completely different. And I just kind of lashed out. I was like, you always leave out the water. Don't even talk to me about this. Blah, 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 blah. And I was upset and I walked away. And then she was kind of upset. And it was a couple of minutes later, I was like, what the heck did I just do? Like, why? I've been building up this anger or upset about this. And I usually don't apologize, which, sorry, Mary, I know I need to work on that. But I was like, why am I doing this? What's going on here? So I went upstairs. I think she was getting Evie ready for bed or for nap time or something. I was like, I'm sorry, Mary. I don't know why I lashed out. Like, I know I'd leave the water out or milk out too. Like, she's like, I'm sorry too. Like, yeah. So sometimes we need to say sorry, right? We need to admit when we have done something wrong, done something foolish, and just simply acknowledge that we are at fault and need to say sorry. The other thing, so forgiveness is the other thing that I learned, the other lesson that we want to take away from this psalm. We need to be forgiven by God and experience forgiveness with each other. A quote of wisdom that I found says, things that are hard to say are usually the most important. Things that are hard to say are usually the most important. There will be times that we need to say sorry to God and sorry to each other. If we don't learn to say sorry or ask for forgiveness, the person we have offended will carry those feelings of bitterness and resentment. It might be a greater offense of, you know, leaving out the water. It might be something, maybe you did something physically wrong against someone. Maybe you did something emotionally wrong against someone. If that person who has offended you never says sorry or never admits that they did something wrong, you yourself harbor that bitterness and that resentment to that person. Those feelings then they will begin to consume you. You begin to harbor grudges, and that pain is unable to heal. It's like a weight that kind of just you carry around, and it slowly pulls you down inside your soul. If we are the ones that need to ask forgiveness but refuse to acknowledge our mistakes, we will be consumed with guilt. Maybe like Rose, we have that kind of physical thing in our gut, or maybe it's always running in the back of our minds. We will be consumed with guilt. We may want to avoid that person we harmed, that situation, that conversation, so we don't have to think about the things that we have done wrong. Or maybe you'll lie awake at bed at night and just feel restless, unable to sleep. Confession and truth has the power to set us free from that. That resentment or guilt that weighed down our souls can be cut loose. God is the one who is able to make us clean, and our relationship with Him and others can be restored through confession. We are able to experience the joy of salvation that it talks about in the psalm, of being free, of being forgiven, of newness, that joy that comes. But the practice of forgiveness is painful. It's not always linear, you know, step one, step two, step three, boom, it's done. Sometimes it's maybe more like a spiral. Two steps forward, one step back, four steps forward, two steps back. It's not always easy, and it doesn't just happen very quickly. The truth may also be painful, or maybe you're not willing to revisit those memories, to revisit that pain. As I think about our country and forgiveness, the U.S. has a hard time, I think, a hard time of saying sorry, of admitting mistakes, of owning things. We have not always been willing to revisit the painful memories in our history and ask for forgiveness. Columbus Day was just a few weeks ago, and I think about that. I think about that time in our history, and even up to now. I think about the genocide that our country committed against Native Americans. And really, what formal apology has been recognized or made? In 2009, a short apology was written and kind of tucked away in this 70-page document detailing the physical summary of the Defense Department. I was looking around, you know, I typed into Google, has the U.S. ever apologized for this? And this is what came up. If, you know, but it's this kind of old document. Who's really going to be reading it? If you happen to be reading it, it's some small subsection on page 45. You'll find this apology or this statement titled Apology to Native Peoples of the United States. This small statement reads, part of it, there's a little bit more, but it reads, the United States, acting through Congress, apologizes on behalf of the people of the United States to all Native peoples for the many instances of violence, maltreatment, and neglect inflicted on Native peoples by citizens of the United States. In this large document that who's going to be reading, it might as well be some kind of footnote. The apology also urges the President of the United States to, quote, acknowledge the wrongs of the United States against Indian tribes in the history of the United States in order to bring healing to this land. But as the article quoted, you know, of course, an apology also makes it clear that it in no way admits any liability in any of the dozens of lawsuits still pending against the U.S. It's kind of this, I'm sorry, but whatever, we don't really mean it. And even, so this was in 2009 when President Obama was in office. Even when he was in office, he never publicly acknowledged this. You know, there was no kind of broadcasting. Let me read this statement to the people. Let's make this an important time. He never publicly recognized this apology. And I think about the church. So besides our country, I think about our church. The church as a whole is guilty sometimes of not asking for forgiveness. For many years, sexual abuse was hidden and taking place in the church. Higher officials covered it up. Victims' stories were often not reported. Cases of abuse were most notably made in the Catholic Church, but that does not mean that it was not happening in other denominations or even in our Mennonite denomination. Only until recently was Pope Francis willing to make some kind of public statement asking for forgiveness. He is quoted as saying, how can someone who devoted their life to lead children to God end up instead to devour them in what I called a diabolical sacrifice that destroys both the victim and the life of the church. Some of the victims have been driven to suicide. These deaths weigh heavy on my heart, on my conscience, and that of the whole church. To their families, I offer my feelings of love and pain, and humbly, I ask for forgiveness. Well, perhaps it doesn't heal the individual wounds of the many victims. It at least maybe shows that even the larger church needs to ask for forgiveness. In trauma healing work, the offender admitting guilt and asking forgiveness is an important part of the healing process. That is why the act of saying sorry or asking for forgiveness must be sincere. Otherwise, it's just empty words or is even more harmful. As David says in the psalm, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Once again, we realize when we confess and say sorry to God or to others, we experience God's mercy and grace. We are made clean, and the joy of salvation is restored to us. Without asking for forgiveness, we remain in sin. We remain contaminated. We may appear righteous on the outside, but on the inside, we are decaying. We are like the righteous leaders that Jesus criticizes in Matthew 23. He has a lot of harsh things to say to them, if you go to read that. But Jesus calls the religious leaders whitewashed tombs. On the outside, you know, they look beautiful. You know, maybe they've been cut clean, they're washed, and maybe there's flowers outside of them, but he says, but inside you are full of dead bones. I think about this cup. Does this cup look pretty clean to you? Looks nice. A nice potter made this cup. It looks clean, right? From the outside, we say, this is a beautiful cup. This is ready. Go ahead, drink up, pour some water in. But on the inside, it is filthy. I mean, can you see this? Would you want to drink from this cup? There's some chocolate milk. There's ranch dressing in here. There's filthy. On the outside, it may look ready to drink from. But on the inside, it is filthy. We can keep up appearances, and maybe no one will ever notice the sin in our life. But confessing to God and to others but not confessing to God or to others leaves us only dirty and broken. God may continue to love us while we are in our sin and bless us, but we will not be fully clean. When we try to offer God's love to others, it's dirty. We would not be offering the living water that Christ wants us to. Right? So if God pours his love into us, and we try to pour that love into others, it becomes dirty because of the sin that is in our lives. We would not want to be drinking from this cup and the love and the joy that we pour into someone else is not right. But praise God that he offers forgiveness when we confess our sins, the things that make us dirty on the outside and on the inside. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive, to cleanse us from sin. He washes us clean by the blood of Jesus. He takes away the things that we have done wrong.
He continues to love when we are willing to be humble and ask for forgiveness. When we are willing to receive God's forgiveness, then we are made clean. And the love that He has given to us, the forgiveness that He has given to us, we are able to give to someone else, and it is clean.
When we confess, we are set free. It is by the blood of Jesus we are made clean. His love can take away the deepest stain and the deepest sin, and we will be left clean. But confession must be a normal part of our prayer life, right? Because we continue to make mistakes. Let's be honest. We continue to make mistakes, and we continue to be in need of God's forgiveness. We continue to fall short of God's glory and the need to experience His grace. So as we get ready to write our sorry prayers and add them to the God box, think about some of these questions. What do you need to confess to God? Do you need to receive His forgiveness? Do you need to ask someone else for forgiveness? Be humble before God. Be humble before others. In confessing your wrongs, may you be set free, and may the blood of Jesus wash you clean. Amen.